بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين باري الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters. So I just wanted to mention, in doing some research for this talk, there was a particular hadith that really struck me. And it deals with one of the major problems that we face in our community today. One of the major sources of disunity. And the hadith is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and it goes like this. He says, ثَلَاثَةٌ أَخَافُهُنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. There are three things I fear for my community. الدَّلَالَةُ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. Deviation after ma'rifah. Deviation after spiritual knowledge. أَمُدِّلَّاتُ الْفِتَنِ. The misleading of captivating dissension. Fitna. People say fitna is disunity, but it means something more than that. It means a kind of disunity that captivates you, that attracts you, that entraps you. But we'll talk some more about that. Wa shahwatul batn wal faraj, and the desires of the stomach and the genitals. Today I'd like to cover at least the first two because time is running out. And with respect to the deviation after spiritual awareness, it's very interesting because, mudillatul fitan, the misleading of captivating dissension. I want to combine these two in a talk today. And one of the things I think we can learn from the shaitan, you know, one of the things that we can learn from the shaitan is that anything could make you deviate. Anything could be a source of hellfire for us, including ma'rifah. Including a high spiritual state where you become so captivated by that very spiritual state itself that you forget your humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's how Shaitan fell. Shaitan was an arif. Shaitan was a sheikh. Shaitan was an alim. He was an akhund. Okay, Shaitan wasn't a banker. Okay, he wasn't a general. Okay, he wasn't a robber, a highway robber. You know, among the jinn who preceded us as a civilization on this earth, he was the foremost alim. He was the foremost arif. To the extent that the story goes that he was so exemplary in his worship that the angels at every level invited him and asked Allah to bring him up to their level because they themselves were captivated by the level of his spirituality. But all the time that this being was being promoted, he was becoming full of himself. He was becoming more and more egotistical. He was always saying to himself, look at me. I'm the most spiritual out here. Look at me. I'm the most Islamically knowledgeable out here. Look at me, how everybody admires me. And he loved that. But he didn't say it to himself until the test came. And you know, it teaches us a little bit about what sin is. There's a positive aspect to sin. Not that you should sin, but there's a positive aspect to sin. For a normal person, not an evil person, a normal person, that person sins in an environment that brings out that sin, that brings out that tendency in them. You know, it's like, for example, you know, you have a weakness in your lungs, but you don't know that until you start smoking. And when you start smoking, you realize you have a weakness in your lungs. So sin is the same thing. It's largely situational. So for example, I'm a poor man. You know, I'm not, let's say, an arrogant show-off because I have nothing to buy to show off with. But if you drop £1 billion in my hand today, you'll see me showing off with my brand new Lamborghini or Maserati out on the street. I'm a show-off. I didn't know that. You know, I am low down on the totem pole. I'm the person who brings the tea for everybody. So there's nobody in the office more humble than me. But the moment you put me in the charge of a multinational corporation, you will see some arrogance coming out. The moment you make me a mayor or a prime minister or something, then the arrogance starts coming out. Before it was latent, before you were getting away with it. But now your situation has changed and it brings that thing that was latent in you out to the surface. So here Iblis was there worshiping and thinking of himself as a very, very spiritual being. And lo and behold, just like what sometimes we find in the job, you know, somebody comes and says, okay, I'm putting this person in charge. I'm putting X in charge. You know, and you worked for 20 years, 50 years or whatever to get to that position. And all of a sudden this guy comes out from nowhere and gets your position. How do you feel? What do? You rebel. Okay? You become resentful. I put all my time in this company and this is what you do to me? It's assuming that the boss knows better than you who is supposed to be in charge. There's a very interesting movie called Amadeus. You should take a look at this. It's about Mozart. You know, and it's about the French court. And in the French court, there's this very famous musician. Everybody loves him. You know, and all of a sudden, this young man shows up who has not a very good personality. You know, people would look at him and look down on him. But this guy was a genius in music and made this man start to jealous him because of his natural talent. Check the movie out. It's called Amadeus. But it's the same thing that happened to him. Here Allah now brings up a man, a human being, who is made up of a very inferior physical substance than Iblis. Iblis was a jinn. He was made of smokeless fire. Some say pure energy. Some might even say plasma. Pure energy. No smoke, meaning no impurity. Nothing gross, nothing heavy in his nature. He was fiery. He was bright light. He was shining. And Allah made this man out of black smelly mud and put his soul, put his ruh in that man. And he said, I'm going to make him my representative. I'll make him my second in command. And this situation brought that arrogance out of Iblis. And he disobeyed Allah by not bowing down to him. And you know, the imams, they say, the arrogant person is the most stupid of people, regardless of how many PhDs he might have against his name. He's the most stupid of people. So when Allah asked him why he didn't bow down, he didn't give a dalil, he didn't give a reason that Allah had given the angels a reason for them to bow down, which was teaching him all the names. He didn't say, I knew the names before him. You know, I knew the names better than him. He said, no. He said, I am not bowing down to him because you made me of smokeless fire and you made him of clay. And this is why we call Shaitan the first racist. Because a racist or any kind of bigot looks at somebody on the superficial. He sees the outward and says, you know what? I'm better than that person. Look at how I'm dressed. Look at where I live. Look at my skin, look at my hair, look at my youth, look at my beauty, look at whatever outward physical characteristics or possessions that I have, and I say, because of that, I'm better than him. When we know that the essential of an entity, I would say an entity because it applies to all intelligent beings, the essential of an entity is its intelligence, is its morals, It says standing up by high values. This is what distinguishes one person from another. But here we are, all of us, we do this. You know, you walk into work every day, you know, with your shiny shoes and your spanking suit. You know, you pass a T-boy and you don't even look at him because I am better than him. Because look at me and look at him. This is a shaitani type of attitude. And this is one of the things that tends to divide us in our community. You know, I'm not talking about just race. I'm talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about people from North Pakistan versus South Pakistan. I'm talking about people from West Baghdad versus East Baghdad. I'm talking about whose family belongs to who and what of. You know, all these types of things become the sources of dissension between us. Salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There's a very interesting verse in Holy Quran that talks about this. That talks about the presence of shirk in religion. The presence of shirk in religion. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ كَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِهُونَ. Allah says, and do not be among the polytheists. Do not be among them. Why? Of those who split their religion into parts. They split up their religion and become sects, each faction exalting in what they possessed. So here we have ma'rifa, but at the same time, with this ma'rifa, we start splitting up into groups. And this splitting up into groups is based upon what we would call our hawa. We would call the our desires, our personal inclinations, our opinions, and these opinions not being based upon knowledge. Allah says, when you start doing this, you become of the mushrikeen. And how do they relate? How do they relate to these ideas? See, what's happening here is this. Somebody says, you know, I think that in Tashahud, okay, we are Shia. So along with Ashadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, we should say Ashadu Anna Ali and Waliullah. Somebody said, yeah, I think it's a great idea. Makes a lot of sense. You see? And your hawa, your desires, your personal inclinations, your opinions take control of you and you say, yeah, it's a great idea. Not only this, now after that, you start looking at other people and say, they don't say tashahud with Imam Ali. So we're better than them. We are better than them. And so you start now looking at people in a critical type of a way and you start separating yourself from the others. Now this is true for within a religion, but it is also true for our attitude towards other religions, you know? So people, many of us say that, for example, you know, I'm Shia or I'm Muslim and X is a Christian or X is a Jew or something like that, and by definition, I'm better than him. Once again, we are being shaitani because we are looking at the outward of religion. We're not looking at their morals. We're not looking at their knowledge. We are looking at their denomination. And you say, I'm better than you because of my denomination. You're a fool. Remember the hadith I talked to you about with respect to Imam Hassan alayhi salam in terms of removing kibr, removing arrogance from himself. He says, whenever I leave my house, whoever I see, whoever I come upon, I always think that that person is better than me. He didn't say whoever Muslim I came upon. He didn't say whoever mu'min I came upon. He said whoever he came upon. This is something that we have to keep in mind. Because it's only in humility that we will get knowledge. Many of the people who are commenting upon this particular verse say that those people who break up their religion into sects are those people who do not have knowledge. They do not have knowledge. And one of the most important source or state for a person to receive knowledge is humility. It is not how many books you read. It is not how the status of your professors. It is not how well you can speak. It is about your humility. The hadith say that humility is like a valley. Water runs down to the valley. Arrogance is like the top of a hill. Water runs off the top of a hill. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They say this hawa, which is your personal inclination, is also based upon an attachment to it, an attachment of love to this personal inclination. So you would find that many people who create these types of fitna, who create these types of divisions, are people who already have an inclination in themselves that they want to see in deen. And so we find ourselves in a society where we are always, could the women please keep quiet? It's quite disturbing. Salawat. If you want to speak, go outside or speak in a whisper, please. It doesn't show respect to the people who want to listen to what I have to say, and it definitely doesn't show me any respect. Please. Except the kids, of course. Now, where was I? We live in a society where you find there are so many conflicting ideological elements taking place, conflicting ideological points of view, many of them contrary to Islam. And so we start becoming attracted to them because many of them apparently seem to make sense. Now, not all of them don't make sense. Some do, okay? But many of them apparently don't seem to make sense or seem to make lots of sense. And so now we try to conform our Islam to that. Already we have a hawa nafs. We have an inclination, a love for some of the ideas that are put forward in the society. Let's take, for example, the issue of homosexuals. You have Muslim groups that are homosexual. You have them. They form their little group. They say, I'm a great Muslim. You know, that what Islam was talking about was in those times, things have changed, etc., etc., and now things are okay, and we stand by this. This is what Islam means. You create a sect. You create a little group. Or, for example, you know, you might have some women, this is very important, some women who have an issue with things like polygamy. They have an issue with that. Okay? So, they impose upon Islam a relativism. In that time, it took place because of X, Y, and Z reason, but it does not apply to me now, for example. What it does, what you are actually doing is imposing upon deen your own orientations, your own ideas, because you are uncomfortable with what religion teaches you, what religion insists upon. And because of this discomfort, and because also the fact that you want to remain a Muslim, what you do is you change Islam. And this is what you mean by creating sects. And once you do this, because it's based on your hawa, because it is based upon your inclination, it is something that is very emotional for you. It's very emotional for you. And this is why Allah says, Farihun, they are happy with this. It's an emotional state. They feel really good about this. The thing is that this type of attitude is not stable because it's based upon an emotion rather than based upon act. A very good example of this is in Christianity. The group in Christianity that is the most fragmenting of all the groups are the Protestant Christians, especially the Pentecostalists and so forth. You could go in America, for example, and see an entire madhab in one storefront church on one street. That's the only place you can find it. one madhab, with one particular point of view that everybody is happy with. And when you look at the Protestant churches, take a look at them on TV, okay? It's extremely emotional. It's all about emotion. They can't rationally defend their belief in Jesus Christ. And you say, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, because he does things for me. He makes me feel good. He gives me the spirit. He gives me healing and so forth and so on. And what makes them, has them like this, makes them prone to mass hypnosis. Prone to mass hypnosis, prone to being controlled by others. And when you watch these guys on TV and them throwing away their crutches and getting up from their wheelchairs and walking, believe me, you're not watching a miracle from God. You're watching mass hypnosis. You're watching a preacher actually manipulate the minds of the people. Manipulate the minds of the people to make them believe that they're being healed. When in fact, it is nothing but mental manipulation. I remember I was involved in a debate with a Christian priest, a Christian minister, and he said, heal the sick. We can heal the sick. Can you heal the sick? I said, yes, of course I can heal the sick. Just like you. I said, you give me a stadium of 3,000 people. And I'm going to put 5 people inside there after I'm speaking to say I'm healed and throw away their crutches. And then I bet you I'll heal everybody in that place because I will mass hypnotize them. That person couldn't give me an answer because they know it's true. But where does this come from? This comes from the fact that it is because of their hawa, of their inclination, that they have founded this type of belief. And it's because of this, they're always fragmenting. They're always separating from each other. Inshallah, I will continue this tomorrow. May Allah protect us from the fitna of our hawa and nafs. And may Allah help us to be aware of it. Because the hawa and nafs, or our personal inclinations, are sometimes things that we are not conscious about. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.